Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 25th of February. We're doing our February open line this hour. One of our Facebook friends said, I love open lines, so good. I'm glad you love them. We'll write down ideas. John Treader answering phone calls. We're getting suggestions for the hours from 9 to 11. So it's a chance for you to be a programmer of this show. And you are a wonderful audience, as our guests say over and over and over again. So I'm sure many of you will have your eyes and ears out for books that you read that you would like for us to talk about on the air, or expansion of programs that we've done, or ideas that we just haven't thought of. So here's the number again, 800-486-8655. Or you can send us, well, let's not do emails now, but keep the email address in mind, so you can always send program suggestions to Rhonda or Chrissy or me, and we'll give you that email address at the end of this program. Second hour of our show today, oh, we're going to have a lot of fun. It is the 50th anniversary. January 12 was the official start of Motown, and we'll be speaking with Dennis Coffey the second hour of our program and playing a lot of Motown music as well to celebrate the occasion. Dennis was a guitarist, and he was at the beginning of Motown. He was in the New York music scene and the Detroit music scene in the 60s and the 70s. He was a member of the elite rhythm section, the Funk Brothers, one of Detroit's most in-demand session guitarists during the 60s and 70s. He played the unmistakable intro to the Temptations classic Cloud Nine before he became a regular at Hitsville. So he knows a lot of the people who are associated with Motown, and we'll ask about your favorite Motown songs. Isn't it amazing how you still put it on, turn it way up on the radio in the car or at your house and kind of rock out? It'll never fade. All right, that's it. That's the lineup. And we'll keep you updated. I know that some of you are listening to us and you're probably watching the healthcare summit as well, which is what I would be doing if I weren't here. So we'll give you a few updates during the course of this hour as to what's going on in Washington. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. We start with Scott from La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hey, again.
Mr. Coupon Man.
This is getting way too common. I'm sure all the listeners think so. But here's my suggestion. And actually, this was prompted by a comment that you made on Facebook, which is how you like, and I like a lot, Bob Costas.
Yes, yes.
Well, we're in spring training now. Baseball season will be starting soon. And we might very well be seeing the beginning of yet another Yankee dynasty. Back about 10 years ago, Bob Costas wrote the best book on what's wrong with baseball and how to cure it I've ever read. It's still relevant. It's called Fair Ball.
Okay.
And what I would like to hear, I would love to hear, is a program, you know, as we're getting ready for spring, for the opening of the baseball season, if you could get Bob Costas and that Michael Bauman guy.
Oh, Michael Bauman. Where
is
he?
You know him?
Yeah, I remember him. I remember him, sort of.
I would love to hear those two discuss where we are and where baseball is in terms of, you know, we're winding down the C-League era. He will be giving up his commissionership in a couple of years. And I've heard a lot of people say, Bob Costas, if the lords of baseball really knew it was good for him, they'd try to get Bob Costas as the next commissioner, but I don't think that'll ever happen.
Oh, isn't that a great
idea?
But
nonetheless, I think it would be, especially, you know, if we really are going to see another, you know, how many years into the future of Yankee dynasties and everybody else coming in, you know the drill.
Right,
but
right.
But anyhow, I think if those guys could bat that around, so to speak, I think that would be a great show.
Oh, I do too. I think it'd be wonderful. Well, somebody was complaining on the Facebook page that, you know, they were sick of the old white guys. And I was thinking, you know, some of those old white guys, my husband included, who I love anyhow, but are smart. You know, they really know this. And Costas is a very, very smart guy. I think he is really good.
Yeah, I heard Frank DeFord.
Yes.
Did you hear his comment?
I did
about
hear that.
We're gonna only after he's gone will we realize how well he does the Olympic transitions. And yeah, I agreed with Frank on that one too.
Yes, they do. They do their homework. They're very learned.
So So, yeah, if you could put that together, I would be the first caller in on that one, too.
All right. Good. All right. Well, go get those coupons. I'll always think of you that way now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Scott. Let's go next to Marcy from Janesville. Hi, Marcy.
Hi. I was just been learning a little bit about essential oils, but I've only heard the people that are actually selling them talk and was interested in hearing about risks and benefits of using essential oils.
I don't even know what they are. What are you talking about?
People have, what I've heard them used for is they'll use them in cleaners, like natural cleaning products. So they'll use vinegar with some essential oils to promote the antibacterial in it. And sometimes they're like, well, if you sniff lavender, it relieves tension and helps you feel better. That sort of an idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Marcy, for your call. Bye. Milton from Madison. Hello.
Good morning. I have a couple of suggestions, but just before that, I'm not a big fan of Facebook, and I don't like the fact that now to fully interact with Wisconsin Public Radio, I have to go and give my personal information to a private company with some really unsavory connections. But getting back to the suggestions, first one is, what does a military oath or oath of public office really mean? What does it mean to uphold the Constitution and defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic? I would think that a military historian or maybe a military lawyer high up in their Judge Advocate General Corps who might be persuaded through a public information officer would be a good guest for that. And the second topic I would like to see covered is, when is it time for revolution? Thomas Jefferson said that he thought we ought to have a revolution every 20 years or so. I mean, is there a crime that hasn't been committed, a depth to which they will not sink? What part of our Constitution hasn't been stood on its head? Where's the breaking point? Can we have some agreed-upon breaking points? Can we all agree on at least a few things that would mean getting up out of our chairs and taking action to stop what could become a very dangerous, out-of-control government? And I think the Declaration of Independence would be a really good place to start. And there's some fantastic history professors at UW-Madison or even some of the other UW campuses who you could choose as a guest.
All right, Milton, thanks very much for your call. John from Madison, hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, John.
Over the last couple months, I feel like I've heard a lot of shows about how women are graduating at higher rates from college and how women are making more money in the house. And, hey, I'm a dad with two girls, and I have three older sisters who are all professional. I'm all for this. But I'm curious, have you had a guest on who the topic might have been, well, we've changed how we educate kids, and we've changed it to really help the girls succeed, which I'm all for, but has that been at the expense of the boys?
Yeah, we've done several shows, and it may be just because I got a lot of boys in my house, but we've done several shows on boys, and probably not as many shows on girls, actually, which, you know, we've gone the opposite direction here. We've done a lot of stuff with Michael Gurian, who's written several books on boys and underperforming boys and ways to get them motivated, et cetera. We've been on the topic.
Okay, and, you know, I'm a sales guy, and I can only listen to you generally when I'm in the car driving.
Right.
So I guess I've missed those, but I do appreciate it because I got two girls, and then I got a boy following behind, and I just want him to have a fighting chance, that's all.
I'm with you.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Have a great morning.
You too. Ron from Evansville, hi.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Ron.
A couple of callers ago mentioned about the Declaration, brief comment there. Jay Leno on the Tonight Show, I think it was, whichever his show is, said when Iraq was getting a constitution, why don't we just give them ours? We don't use ours anyway. So, but anyway, besides that. Yeah. On Christian history, I suggest a Dr. David Barton. You know, I heard your program yesterday. Dr. David Barton is an advanced, seriously studied, incredibly knowledgeable historian of early American history and its Christian history. So I suggest him for a program. You'd be unbelievably amazed if you had him. And then on health care insurance, here's my thoughts. It bothers me to hear people say our health system is broken. We have the best health care system in the world. What's broken is our economy, which allows people to participate in it. And that's broken for a lot of reasons. But I'd like to have you maybe look up I heard an economist lately talking about the financial consequences of abortion. Basically, 51 million children who never came to be in our economy are having their absence, if you will, is having an incredible, incredible impact on Social Security. The baby boomers want to sell their houses, downsize. The market isn't buying those houses because the people are not there. The American population is sustained and increased not by birth of our own children, but by immigration. And, in fact, a lot of our immigration, especially Southern California, is illegal aliens by the hundreds of thousands. And so, if you will, our health system is suffering not because of this policy, that policy, or politics, but as a consequence of America moving away from its foundational roots based in, if you will, traditional morality, faith in God, love of children, family structure, and all that. And these things have had incredible impact on society. And so that's what I'd like to see you do a study on. There is an economist out there, but I don't know who he is, that has put together some great studies on the impact of the missing children in America on our finances, our healthcare system.
Right. All right, Ron.
Something like that.
All right, thanks. And if you remember who that person is, shoot us an email and we'll give it consideration. Thank you. Kevin from Deerfield, hi.
Hi. I'd like to have a show and a lot of other discussion through various venues about why we allow and have to put up with people terrorizing our countryside and our city streets and our neighborhoods with vehicle noise, and it's primarily motorcycles, and it's primarily one particular make. And talking with someone from Milwaukee about it, I don't know how far I'll get with this, but I'd really like to know a little bit more about what the laws are with respect to vehicle noise, both what they are at the county and state and municipal levels. What are the requirements for manufacturers to follow? It seems like we hold cars and snowmobiles and other things to a higher standard than we hold motorcycles. And I've just had a lot of problems living on a street that has a lot of traffic, and I think it's bad for our ears. It causes stress. It's just a real form of pollution, and I'd like to know a little bit more about why we have so much of it and why we don't, or why we can't do something about it.
Right, a show on noise pollution. All right, Kevin, we hear you. Thanks. We hear you. Thanks very much for the call. We go to Katie from Wauwatosa. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I know this doesn't necessarily have to do with your show, like, just right away, but it was like something on the Joy Cardine show. They had Priebus, the head of the Republican Party, talk about his opinions about the healthcare summit. And just my opinion is, I would prefer to, if public radio would try to find balance by not having heads of Republican Party or Democratic Party talk about their opinions, but maybe have professors more, so that it's more based on, I don't know, educated opinions than just spin.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly I turned off. I thought, I don't want to listen to this guy. He's just going to spin. And I know they've had Pocan on too, and he's more representing the Democrat, and it was just such spin. And I really appreciate when they have someone maybe from an institute where they've been studying it for a long time, whatever point of view they have. That, to me, gives me a much better balanced opinion than someone that's spinning.
Are you watching today?
No, I'm not right now. Well, I was just working, and I have to work again, so no. I just have to be in between. So.
All right. Thanks, Katie.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Paul from Soldiers Grove. Hello, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Have you done any shows about the space program lately or ever?
Oh, we do. Yeah, we've done tons of them. Probably not for a couple months.
Okay. Because there was, President Obama had a pretty significant change of direction on the space program this month.
The moon thing? The moon?
The moon. The moon program, the Constellation program, has been discontinued, and it looks like possibly it's going to be more private commercial vehicles to go up to the International Space Station, and for other projects they're going to be more international. And I know I called you a couple years ago to see if you could get Buzz Aldrin on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you were able to do that, but I'd like to encourage you to try again, because he's been blogging about this, and he's very excited about the change in direction. He thinks it's a very good thing, and he's got a lot of interesting ideas. He's still out there speaking, and he's writing about it, and you know, he has a personal history that's really
sure.
interesting also.
Okay, that's a great idea. We'll try and locate him. Thank you, Paul.
Yep, thanks.
We go to Sharon from Butler. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling in that I would love to see the Milwaukee Journal really, really succeed and increase their readership. And I've lived in different cities, and there were things in their papers that were really attractive that I don't see in the Milwaukee Journal. And it'd be wonderful to have a program where people could call in that perhaps have lived in different places or have an idea that why they would want to buy the paper that day.
What do you read, Sharon? What papers?
Milwaukee Journal.
The Milwaukee Journal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And occasionally the New York Times.
Uh-huh. And you want, what's missing that you want?
A complete stock report.
Okay.
And in I lived in Buffalo for a while, and they had two smaller crosswords you could do every day, which was really nice, plus the real big one. They had more options on the puzzle page. And their section for the eating and the restaurants and little household tips was much better, actually.
Okay. All right. So, thank you, Sharon.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We're doing an open line for February. We have a couple lines open right now if you'd care to join the conversation. 800-486-8655. Just keep in mind that these suggestions are for the 9 to 11 hours. Chrissy and Rhonda are listening, and they will all have a meeting after this and figure out what ideas we want to move forward on. You can always send emails to everybody, too, and we'll give you all our addresses, Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease, after we come to the end of this show. Well, not after, before we come to the end of this show. Why would it be after? We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Motown. Our guest will be Dennis Coffey, one of Detroit's most in-demand session guitarists during the 60s and 70s. He made his debut at Motown, forging the intro to the Temptations classic, Cloud Nine. He's worked with a lot of wonderful Motown musicians, and we'll be speaking with him and playing a lot of Motown. So get ready to dance, hour number two of our show. 800-486-8655. It's an open line right now, and we go next to Melanie from Elkhorn. Hello, Melanie.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I would love to hear a show about where we are in love regarding legislation or whatever regarding like a Healthy Youth Initiative Act, I've gotten an email from Planned Parenthood about them trying to actually implement a more comprehensive sex education and, you know, getting rid of the abstinence-only education in the schools. But I can't really follow it. I don't know exactly where is that going.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't done that issue for a long, long time. That would be a good show for us.
Yeah, I don't know. Planned Parenthood has been sending me emails about some kind of initiative they're trying to pass, and I don't know, you know, where it actually is and regarding legislation and whatnot. Something like that.
Okay. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Orson from Duluth. Hi, Orson.
Hi. This morning I was thinking about all of these numbers that are flying around. We've had so many trillions of dollars in debt, and the insurance is going to cost this. I think some years ago you did a show with a man who wrote "A Mathematician Reads the News." I would like to have him on again.
A mathematician reads the news.
Yes.
Okay.
He can make some plain sense out of you know
those numbers.
Yeah, I think the only other people that can make those understandings are mathematicians and astrologers or astronomers. Pardon me.
Where is it in my mind? Somebody was writing about the difference between a trillion and a billion, and I should have written it down because those figures go in my head and then they're gone. But it was this incredible difference.
Yes.
Right.
And I think the only way we would learn what a million is if we won the lottery.
Right.
That ain't going to happen.
You didn't.
Thank you.
You haven't won, Orson?
No.
No.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for the call. Tom from Green Bay. Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I would like to see is something regarding how the new free speech ruling from the Supreme Court is going to be affecting our judge elections in the sense of businesses pouring more money into state judge elections such as Wisconsin and buying judges to rule in relationship to potential cases that will be coming before them in the future. I would suggest probably have somebody from the Madison Law School, University of Chicago, or else, if you can, have Judge Souter, who retired from the Supreme Court, talk about that.
Well, that he'd be a great guest, wouldn't he?
Yeah, or Kathleen Day O'Connor.
Right. All right. Well, it's worth a try. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Eugene from I'm sorry. There we are. Eugene from Viola. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. They're reading The Land Remembers on Chapter Day by Ben Logan, and he's still alive. He's mm-hmm. either just turned 90 or he's getting ready to turn 90, and he's living in Viroqua. And I saw him a couple of years ago at Large Country Fair, and I think it would be nice if they could interview him, if he could do the interview.
We have had him on. I don't know if you missed the show, Eugene. He was on about 6 months ago.
He was?
And yes, he was. And he has good days and bad days. He was very good the day we talked with him. Gets tired pretty easily. And we can try again. When does he turn 90?
I'm not sure. I was talking to Bramble Books out the road where they said he was getting ready to turn 90, or he was 90 already.
Right.
Just turning. But I was listening to a description of a car growing up on a farm in a country school, and I grew up right after World War II with a few of those same experiences a little bit, especially splitting wood and hauling water and walking a mile and a half to school,
right,
country school.
Okay. Look him up if you have a computer on our archives, because there is a short interview with him
okay. In
case we're not able to land him again. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks much.
Joey from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to hear a discussion on TIFs. That stands for Tax Incremental Financing, and it's a financing tool used by cities to spur development. They take out debt or loans to clear land. It's so that they can compete with suburbs, you know. Like if a developer wants to build a headquarters, like here in La Crosse, they're using a TIF to clear land in a city that has, you know, stuff on it, and it's more expensive for a developer to build, to clear that land and move power and build roads and stuff than it is to build a headquarters out in, like, in a brown field in a suburb somewhere. So cities take on this debt to spur development. And I don't know what a healthy, debt load is for a city. There's been guidelines set up by the states, but, you know, our state is in trouble with its own debt. I don't know if, you know, the states really understand what a healthy debt load would be. And connected developers get more TIF money than unconnected ones, and so that there's no guidelines or anything, really. It just depends on what, you know. So I live in La Crosse, and we're using a couple of TIFs to finance a bus garage and as incentives for a developer to build downtown. And I don't know, maybe it's kind of inside baseball and it could be kind of dry, but I'd be interested in hearing what, you know, some success stories and some failures. And because I know like Illinois uses a lot of TIFs and they're not all going so well for their communities that use them.
All right, Joey. Thank you.
Yep.
We go to Barb from Milwaukee. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a show on the agriculture community's reaction to the Humane Society of the United States. There was a huge brouhaha on Facebook because a wine company from out of the country had contributed $100,000. And small farmers all over the country were up in arms. They consider the Humane Society a lobby organization rather than hands-on and helping. They look at them as totally anti-farmer and trying to put them out of business. And it was amazing, the small farmers, the grassroots movement that made the wine company change their mind.
Do you have a suggestion of a guest on this, Barb?
There's a man from a company, well, not a company, a group called Center for Consumer Freedom.
Okay.
They're attacked by the Humane Society as a front group. But if you carefully read their site, they're more of a political responsibility, anti-nanny government kind of group.
Okay.
And they have a side page called Humane Watch with very cold, hard facts.
All right. Thank you, Barb, very much for the call. We'll look them up. We go to Rick from Milwaukee. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Two suggestions, really. First is Daniel Ellsberg. The person who blew the whistle on the Vietnam War regarding the Pentagon Papers. I'd like him to discuss the current overt and covert wars that the military-industrial complex are engaged in the Middle East. He's of special relevance right now because a film about him, a documentary, is up for an Academy Award. It's called The Most Dangerous Man in America, regarding his whistleblowing during Vietnam. I think, for the most part, I have not seen the film. I'm looking forward to it. The other guest is, Jane Mayer, or Mayer, from the New York Times, who a couple of months ago did an article on the use of drone bombing attacks by the U.S. military in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and the hundreds of people who have been killed that are civilians. And I think that that entire topic should be elevated to full discussion in this country. I think Dan Ellsberg would also have points to make about just what kind of dangers we're running into with this kind of selective murder.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the call. Jeff from Cedarburg, hi. Oh, there we go. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to hear a show on the incredible change in the Christian right, how 30 years ago their positions were completely different on almost every issue than they are today, from global warming to abortion. They have completely changed their stance on everything. Now it's all about the Republican Party. It's got nothing to do with Christianity anymore.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for your call. Larry, hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, Larry.
I would like to have us have a program, and this would involve the state and someone from the county association, and looking at the amount of duplication that taxpayers pay for at the township level and at the county level. An example being, I have a township truck snowplow, drives 6 miles down a county road with his plow up, and then 4 hours later, finally the county comes along with the same kind of truck and plows the road. Well, as a taxpayer, I'm paying for both of those trucks, and from the standpoint of trucks, graders, labor, et cetera, we need to somehow coordinate our investment in equipment and labor to most efficiently serve the taxpayer.
All right, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Connie, Arcadia, hi.
Yeah, this is really silly, but you were briefly talking about the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion.
Mm-hmm.
A million seconds is 11 and a half days. A billion seconds is 32 years.
That's what I read. There you go. Thank you. It was in my mind somewhere. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
that would be kind of a fun show to look at numbers in that fashion. Oh, thank you. you read some things, it's like you need a notebook with you all the time, right, so you can remember all of these things that come at you every single day. Open line for February is what's happening right now. Our number is 800-486-8655. Of course, today is the big healthcare summit at Blair House, and a reminder that tonight at 6 here on the Ideas Network, we'll be bringing you special NPR coverage reviewing the highlights and the outcome of the meeting. The health policy correspondent for NPR will be here, and the senior Washington editor. It's tonight at 6 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So in case you miss, which all of us now are missing, some of the summit that is taking place as we speak, there will be a review of all of that coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. Al from Appleton is our next caller. Hi, Al.
Hi.
Hi.
You may have done a show about this in the past. I'm not sure, a recent past. There's a book that was written called The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yes.
It's kind of on the ethical treatment of, or the ethical treatment of animals and that we consume. And the author that has another new book out, which I'm not sure of the name, but I've heard him on TV, and he's quite an interesting guy, and the book is quite interesting on the treatment of animals that are used in consumption, and how it's the overall effect of how our farming system, the making it production, farm to production, has changed more towards factory type production, which is really quite gruesome.
Yeah. Michael Pollan, isn't that Michael Pollan?
I believe it may be. Does he, and I'm not sure if he's the same author of a book called The Botany of Desire. I'm not sure. I think it may be. But anyhow, it's quite, it's quite interesting.
Yes.
And also, there's another quick side note. There's two gentlemen, and it was on public television, that produced, college kids, that produced a short film called King Corn. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, we had them on.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How our food production, with actually the production of corn, has changed, and which also leads into this, the production and slaughter of our animals and how that's changed. Anyhow, if you could get these two college kids on, King Corn was the name of this
right.
film. It was on public television.
We're ahead of you on that. We had them on about a year ago.
Oh, okay.
So right. Go to the archives. All right, Al, thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
Uh-huh, bye. Ann from Madison, hi.
Oh, yes, thank you. I would like to suggest having Amy Goodman on the show from Democracy Now!
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very impressed by her work and her program, and of course she has publication out recently, Breaking the Sound Barrier. So I don't know if you've had her recently.
It's been a little while.
But, to talk about her... her experiences, her show, any current findings, and so forth. I don't know.
All right.
I heard that recently she's been detained on the border trying to get into Canada.
Yes. Yes, we heard that as well. All right, Ann, we haven't had her on for a while, so it's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Zach from La Crosse, hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I would like to hear a show about the evolution of the political parties. More specifically, I feel that nowadays they seem to be doing things that undercut each other and kind of hurt the other side of the aisle, and I feel it's kind of the expense of the general public.
Okay. All right, evolution of parties. Thank you, Zach.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Frank from Madison, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
I would like to... hello, Kathleen. I would like to suggest that you do a program on a sustainable energy economy. And there's a really good resource for that. That's the November issue of last year of Scientific American. And two authors who've done extensive studies, Jacobson and DeLucci, and they have a very explicit plan for getting to a non-carbon economy by 2030.
Okay.
And they might make guests. There are loads of other possible guests who are authors in of articles on that same issue, and there are loads of reasons to get off petroleum and coal, and it's possible, and it's not particularly expensive, according to these people.
All right.
So thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Take
care. As always, thank you. Lynn from Eau Claire, hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Lynn.
I told you, the guy on the phone, the world lost Frank McCourt.
Yes.
He has a brother,
yes.
Malachi,
mm-hmm.
who has sucked the Blarney Stone dry. There's nothing for the rest of us. He's brilliant.
Yes, he is.
You know, and I finally read Danny Boy. It broke my heart. I remember seeing, which really breaks my heart. I remember seeing Malachi on the Jack Parr show.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, and I'd love to hear from him. He's such a character.
He is. I saw him. He was at Irish Fest a couple of years ago, and he held forth for at least an hour a monologue on everything. It's the history of the world, the history of Ireland, all of it. He was just remarkable.
Just about and nobody knows his face.
Right.
I have a cousin with the real name of Jim Smith, you know, who gets the Irish newspaper from Chicago. And I think he's green, even, and he wasn't aware of Malachi.
Mm.
And I'd love to hear.
Okay, maybe Malachi. We can track him down around St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be fun.
Thanks,
all right,
definitely.
Thanks, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
More phone calls in a moment. It is an open line for the month of February. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email addresses, if you want to send emails to me, to Rhonda, to Chrissy, it's at the end of all of them is WPR.org. So it's either Dunn K or Fanning. Or Chrissy's a little bit more elaborate, Chrissy, K-R-Y-S-S-Y .Pease, P-E-A-S-E. And all of those are at WPR.org. So if you can copy them to all of us, we're always happy to entertain your suggestions. More phone calls in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, it's the 50th anniversary this year of Motown, established in 1960. Isn't that something? We'll be playing some Motown tunes, some big hits, and we'll also be speaking with Dennis Coffey. Dennis is the author of Guitars, Bars, and Motown Superstars, and he was an in-session guitarist during the 60s and 70s, so he played the intro for Cloud Nine. He was a regular at Hitsville, USA, playing on chart toppers for Marvin Gaye, The Supremes, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, and Junior Walker. So it should be a really good hour. A lot of fun. We go next to Brad from Nina. Hi, Brad.
Hi. I would like to recommend an author named Daniel Pink, who's the author of a book called Drive, The Surprising Truth of What Motivates Us. And I watched him on the Tavis Smiley Show one night, and I just found it very enlightening, and I thought other people would enjoy it as well.
All right, Daniel Pink.
Yes.
Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Camille is next from Frankfort, Michigan. Hi, Camille.
Hi. I would like to talk or have someone talk about alternative health care, but not just, but more the politics of it. In other words, all those things that, all the reasons why the FDA and the AMA do not want us to know about the benefits of health care. And what I'm thinking of when I say that is the fact that in Europe and other parts of the world, there's extensive research showing the benefits of many kinds of alternatives. Chinese medicine is just one, but there are others as well. And there's a lot that it comes through in research, but has been censored by the FDA. And it would really be incredible to have someone come on who could really talk about that and what the economically, what the American Medical Association stands to lose if people go more toward alternative health care. In other words, what's at stake for them and why they don't want to promote it.
All right. Thanks, Camille, for your call. Virginia from Milwaukee. Hello.
Hello. Some time ago, I took a course at UWM on whether or not violence was inherent in our natures. And with the most recent law passed about not concealed guns, I am very concerned about what is happening to our society and the use of guns in our society. I thought it was very frightening to see those people standing out of Starbucks with those guns on display.
It was quite a sight, wasn't it?
Oh, frightening.
Well, was it the Times yesterday that had the front page story? You're right. It was. It caught my attention as well. It would be a good show for us.
Yes, I'd love to hear that.
All right, Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Luann from Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. I would like to see you talk with Leonard Pitts. He's a columnist, syndicated columnist. He's in the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's probably other places, too.
Sure.
He had a wonderful column Tuesday about how, to put this, people don't want to have facts interfere with what they believe. He had written a story, a little piece about a man who had performed a Herculean work in World War One, and he got this letter back saying, people like that, World War II didn't even start until 1939, so how could he possibly have done that in 1915? And it was this, the man, he had his fact checker come in and talk with the guy, or, you know, email or call back and forth, and the man was simply not moved by the fact that Pitts was talking about World War One and not World War Two, and the guy Pitt said that it used to be that if you had a disagreement with someone and you brought forth a fact, the person would say, oh, well, I didn't know that. Perhaps I should reconsider. So I just thought it would be fascinating to hear him talk further on that.
I think that Rhonda has tried to secure him before. We've talked about him, and I'm not sure what the update is on that, if he does talk shows. But I agree with you. I've thought of having him, particularly for the All Things Political segment that we do on Mondays.
Yeah.
He would be a great guest. We'll try again, Luann.
Oh,
thank
good
you.
Luck. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. Barbara from White Lake. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I would like to suggest that you have Stephanie Pearl McPhee. She's an author. She writes about knitting, but she's hilarious. She's absolutely hilarious. And I would just love to hear from her. She has a blog that she keeps. It's called Yarn Harlot. She's the Yarn Harlot. and she's up in Canada, and she's absolutely great. And I think that people would just really enjoy hearing from her.
Would people who don't knit enjoy hearing from her?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because she writes about, she writes mostly about knitting, but she writes about how knitting affects her life. She writes about how knitting affects other people's lives. She has raised more than $1 million for Doctors Without Borders.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, through her blog. You can look at her blog. It's Yarn
Sure.
Harlot.
Okay.
She's just really an interesting person, and it's not just about knitting. It's about people and how obsessed they can get with things.
All right. Sounds good, Barbara.
Maybe around April Fool's.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks,
thank
Barbara.
You.
Bye. Doyle from Belgium. Hi, Doyle.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion because I've heard so many hours on the station about health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that maybe if we get an actuary on to explain how the rates are determined, because there's so much talk about the health insurance rate, but there's not much talk about the health insurance costs that drive the rates, and maybe an actuary could explain that.
All right.
And one other thing I think that would make the health care debate a lot easier, I sold insurance for 10 years, and there's three things that people want to know when they buy insurance is what does it cover, what doesn't it cover, and how much does it cost? And I haven't heard that. I've heard all kinds of committees come up with all kinds of plans, but nothing that people can really like or dislike.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Doyle.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Jenny from Delafield, hi.
Hi. I would like to suggest a show on how our tax system works. And the reason I think this is relevant is because the Milwaukee Journal recently ran an article about Mr. Wall, the real estate developer, running against Mr. Feingold for the Senate seat. And how he paid $0 in taxes this last year, and how that affects the rest of us middle-class taxpayers. I don't think people understand not only how that's possible, but I don't think they understand the impact that has on the rest of us who don't make $14 million a year. So I would really like a show that explains how our tax system works, and I think it's relevant because that Senate seat is going to be up for grabs.
All right. Thank you very much, Jenny, for your
thank
call.
You.
Mark from Eau Claire is next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Okay, so I believe that it would be nice if you had a program on, like, recycling and, like, just products being created, like soda bottles and things like that, like including either the cost of recycling them in the product cost when you buy for the consumer, or and also having, like, recycling companies and just the cities just citizens just sort their trash more, like make that more easily, or how we can make it more cost efficient so we're not paying people to sort it after we've put it in a trash bag.
Okay.
How we can do that more cost effectively.
Okay. And we could make that a part of a broader program on recycling, which would be a good show for us. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Doug from McGuanago. Hi.
Hi, I'd like to see someone talking about the cause and effect of the price of oil on the recessions in our economy. You know, everyone wants to talk about the banking crisis as to why we're in the problem we're in right now or the recession. But I think probably more effect on it was $145 a barrel oil or $4.25 for gas. When you have that much money flowing out of your economy in nations, I just think that that has far more effect on our economy. And I mean, if you go back to the Suez crisis, Arab oil embargo, and you look at the oil spikes that occurred at those crises, you look at the recessions that occurred right after them. And it's an inverse, you know, when the oil price spikes up, our economy spikes down. And it's eerie when you look at that. And I just think that $4.25 a gallon gasoline had as much to do with the trouble we're in right now as the banking crisis. And the gold standard who to get on the show would be Daniel Yergin.
Okay. Thank you, Doug, for your call. Bob Sparta, hi. Bob, are you there?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Say, all the talk nowadays is, you know, jobs, jobs, jobs. And rather than having people on like you've had on, like yesterday, get some maybe a committee, not a committee, but several guests that could answer questions all at the same time that are from businesses that do hiring, and ask them, well, what should the government be doing that would cause them to hire? What sort of long-range things do they need to have in place that would encourage the hiring of people? And if we have people working, we can do almost anything.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Good idea, Bob. We are doing a show next week, I can't remember which day, on where the jobs are right now for people who are need to go retrain or for people who are going into professions, which looks like a valuable book to me. But I like your idea, have people from business. Good idea.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And from Madison, hi.
Hi. There was an article in yesterday or the day before State Journal that says the State Senate this week on a voice vote approved a bill that would allow unloaded firearms that are 26 inches or longer to be transported in vehicles without putting them in any case. And the bill also includes bows and crossbows. Apparently, the NRA is, of course, the biggest supporter of this change. And I think it would be interesting to have a show on regulation of firearms and why the National Rifle Association is basically being permitted by legislatures all over the country and Congress to write our weapons control laws, which are tending to, I think, D.C. used to have a law that wouldn't allow, you know, basically wouldn't allow people to carry pistols, and that just was allowed to expire, even under President Obama. So, you know, we live in a country where kids, every day we hear about kids going on rampages or accidentally shooting each other or, you know, nuts getting caches of firearms and shooting people in public squares. So I think it's really an important issue. Unfortunately, our legislatures seem to be in thrall to the, you know, to the gun industry.
All right. Thanks, Ann. We will do a show on guns, and we'll do it soon. Well, that's it for our open line. Just a reminder that you can send us emails if you didn't get through or if your idea comes to you in the middle of the night tonight instead of right now. Our email address is WPR.org is the ending of all of them. So Rhonda's is FANNING at Chrissy's is Chrissy, KRYSSY, period, P's, PEASE. And mine is Dunn K, all at WPR.org. We always, and I'm sincere about this, we always like to hear from you. If you have good suggestions. No, just kidding. Many of you do. That job show is Monday, Rhonda just told me, at 10 o'clock, where the jobs are. So please listen to that. A reminder that tonight at 6 o'clock, there will be, from National Public Radio, special coverage reviewing the highlights and outcome of today's meeting at Blair House on the healthcare system.